God, getting connected, or wanting to be healed, is I have to perform. There's something I have to do to be accepted by him. There's something I've got to do for that breakthrough to be loved by him. And sometimes you get to the point that you hear her say, I stopped praying because I didn't want to make him mad.
Right.
Because clearly he doesn't want to heal me, and so I don't want to irritate him. Right? So there's just this broken understanding of God. Right? It's not the thought of him as Father. Right?
Pure love.
Or who has one characteristic. God's not bipolar. God has one attitude, one response. He's full goodness and he loves. That's all he does is release love. And so just that breakthrough for her of just waking up to how much he loves. That's what I've been processing this week. You know, and I was thinking, in my mind, I was actually thinking about that movie, The Matrix. And anybody seen it, by the way?
I saw it yesterday.
Yeah, when I first saw it, and I'm not gonna preach on The Matrix, but you could. When I first saw it, I thought, this is a strange movie, I don't get it. In fact, somebody had to come explain it to me, you know? And when I got it, I went, oh my gosh, right? But this thought that we get trapped in a mindset that becomes your only reality. And this is all we know to be true. And for me, I think that's what happened, started in the garden. Closer. This introduction of what I'll call the fear matrix with Adam. You know, we got this. Hold on, give me 2 seconds.
If that's too much wind, you guys can.
Yeah,
feel free to close.
That's a whole
or
spirit.
Get cold. Now, he's in the wind.
Yeah.
And the rain.
I just wanted to let you know.
That's funny. So I told you before, my favorite book in the Bible, if you're trying to get that revelation of how much he loves you, right? My breakthrough book is the Gospel of John. And because, you know, each of the Gospels is introducing us to this understanding of Jesus. This, who is he? Why did he come? Right? It's the key. It's the window for understanding the whole Bible, right? And but John's a very unique gospel. It's like the opus of all the gospel stories, mm-hmm. right? Because in it, he's the one who is continually laying out this case for how much he loves us. But more than that, the understanding of him as Father,
right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you know, according to John, if you look at whether it's the Gospel of John or the letters of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, right, you can't get any more theologically accurate or pure or doctrinally deep than to understand this one truth.
Mm-hmm.
God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how we layer on so many other types of activities and functions and stuff. When he makes it really simple, it's really about understanding he is pure love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, if you want to have fun sometime, just go, because Jesus, when he's in the Gospel of John, when he's in the upper room, right, he's talking to the Father after the Last Supper, before he goes to the cross,
mm-hmm.
and he's having that conversation, oh, that they would just know this, right? God, mm-hmm. they would just know. Really, how much, if they would just know you as Father, if they would just know how much you love them, just like you love me, and if they would just know that they're accepted by you, just as much as I'm accepted by you, if they would just know that they're connected to you, just like I'm connected to you, right? That's the conversation Jesus is praying before the disciples. They have to be going like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? Right? And in the books, in the letters of John, he actually talks about this, about perfect love in a way like, and read them all together. Don't break it. Read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, because he talks about this It really recasts your understanding of understanding sin, understanding darkness, understanding false truths, because that's what we hear about other messengers or stories about that are going to try to mislead your understanding of who Jesus is. What they call the Antichrist messages. It's all about this understanding of truth. But he says this in 1 John 4, verse 17. He says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we would have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And there's no fear in love. In fact, he says, perfect love. What is it, Lily? Casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. Right? Mm-hmm. Fear involves torment. Let me say it a different way. Fear involves you feeling like you'll never measure up. Fear involves you feeling like there's a set of rules, and if you can't qualify, you won't be accepted.
Right.
That's torment. Fear involves this thought of being forever separated, and there's nothing you can do about your condition to get closer or change that situation. That's what fear is, right? And he says, and people that think that way, John says this, they haven't been made perfect in love, right? So I just wanted to unpack that thought, because I think this thought about fear, it all drives back to what happened in the garden with Adam, right? Because really, did God change in the garden? God didn't change. God's in the, right? Everybody get that? Mm-hmm. That's it. God never changes, no. Right? Mm-hmm. Tells us that. Hebrews says he's the same yesterday,
yep.
Today, and forever,
yep.
Right? He is the same. So God didn't change in the garden, right? So there was a connection that he shared with us. And so when I talk about Adam, let's talk about us. There's a connection he shared with us, right? A divine connection, mm-hmm. Divine intimacy, right? All of a sudden, through an act of corruption, through an act of what is called sin, right? Which is really just the breaking of our thinkers,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. We did understand him as perfect love. We did understand him as connected to us. And all of a sudden, the enemy comes in and he creates this lie. And here's the lie. You can fulfill your destiny without him. You can complete yourself without him. You can succeed without him. Mm-hmm. Right? And the lie comes in that says, you've been thinking this, and this is the relationship you had, but I'm going to break, all of a sudden, through this lie, our thinker says this, right? And we've got, so the lie says that we're separated. Mm-hmm. And what is, let me just, and it's real simple. Separation, always, think of yourself lost in the forest. You can't find mom or dad.
Creates fear.
Yeah, creates fear. Always does. Did your church see that story about the lady that was two weeks
in Hawaii,
right? And I was reading some of her story that had some little clips in the UK. I was looking at a UK site about her processing of the fear that she was going through. Will I ever be found? And for her, she describes it as a spiritual journey. It'd be fun to have a cup of coffee with her sometime and like what was really going on. But separation always produces fear, and that's what happened in the garden, right? And part of that separation is separation also breeds rejection.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How about abandonment? And I bet you guys could sit here and build a list of, call it fruit of separation, fruit of fear, fruit of rejection, fruit, right? Because it always, now all of a sudden, now it's kind of kill or be killed kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Right? So now I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to protect myself. So all these little, this little first thing, it starts with separation, all of a sudden leads to all these other activities of abandonment and rejection. And now it's self-survival. Mm-hmm. And now protection. I'm going to manipulate and deceive I'm trying to control my outcome, right? But instead of having starting from this place of being this intimate relationship, which is kind of like fused with trust and devotion, We become suspicious. We become defensive. We become judgmental.
Right.
And it's all in this need, really, for self-protection.
Mm.
Right? And you know what? The worst thing about that kind of... So here we are. Now we're in the matrix. We're in the fear matrix. Right? This is the place that we have been... We were born into this thought of, I'm alone. Mm. I'm separate. I'm not connected to a healing source. I'm not connected to a source of love. I'm not connected to anything that's given me fuel or sustenance, right? I'm not there. There now, I'm in my self-protection mode. It's almost like a if I can just get blame you for everything. It's like a game of tag. Not me, you. Not me, you. And now we start shifting we find ourselves isolating ourselves by judging everybody around us, right? It's like this big game of broken relationship, gossip, slander, right? A very dysfunctional game, right? All because what? Eating from the wrong tree, right? So sin, and I described sin for you so many times, but let's try another one. Sin is just this... is simply the counterfeit to the relationship, the enjoyment and the pleasure of the relationship he created you for.
Mm.
Right? He created you for intimacy
mm-hmm.
with him. He created you for trust with him. He created you for devotion with him. So sin is the counterfeit of that.
Perversion.
All right? Say that, darling?
Like the perversion.
Yeah, I like that. And it's a perversion of it, but it's also, well, that perversion is like a poison. It is, it's almost like this virus that comes in, and now, how do I deal with the virus, the perversion? I always find myself trying to fix it,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it always leaves me feeling alone. It always leaves terrified sometimes, afraid most often, wondering why am I not healed? Why am I in, right? All the unanswered questions. And so I'm left to try to say, can I fix this thing? What do I do to fix it? Maybe I'm not praying enough. Maybe I'm not going to church enough. Maybe I wasn't nice enough this week. Oh, I should have done something for that person, right? So now it's because I didn't measure up. It's because I'm not qualifying, right? So there's this cycle. We keep beating ourselves up. And all of a sudden I come to this conclusion, I'm just not good enough. I stink and I give in. Okay, God, you win. And we believe. There's church for you. We conclude, right? We somehow have concluded that, okay, that's the place we wanted you, finally.
Right.
That you kind of suck, and you deserve this, and then the cycle starts again. Okay, how do I get closer? How do I get connected? And then the shame and guilt builds up again to the point where a breaking point, oh yeah, I suck, right? And so when you realize, well, there's that thing we're trapped in, the fear matrix, how do I get out of that? How do I get out of this this wrong thinking that I have to perform to get close to him, that I have to do something? Like she said, all she had to do was just be loved. All she had to do was just the hugs of a woman who says, I've never felt this kind of love before. Right? How do I get free like that? Right? And so I wondered, how do I get off the performance treadmill? How do I get out of the shame and guilt thing? And I was thinking about even like Israel, it's like you know they were on the treadmill? Really? They were on the same treadmill of shame and guilt.
Mm-hmm.
They knew there was more. God came and gave them a measure of this understanding of who he is, that he came to, right, lead them, cover them,
mm-hmm.
be Lord of it. But there was this this kind of fallen lens, that's still this broken understanding that said, I need to do something to come close. I need to perform for you to get connected. And so the one thing they just could not see him as was as father, right? They could not see him as somebody they could connect to in this father-son relationship. And so the only thing they could understand was distance and judgment and retribution,
right?
Right? And so they end up creating a series of steps to get to God, right? And it all, so the, our whole, when you look at the Old Testament, you say, well, I have some glimmer of who he is, but all I know is basically sin management. All I know is play the game, right? And I would, and so we're left in this kind of like the state Adam brought us to, which is I'm still hiding my heart from him. I'm still keeping my distance. I'm still trying to save myself. And I still find myself trapped in religious programs. And the only way to get out of the matrix, God had a perfect plan, was Jesus, right?
The blue pill.
I couldn't remember the which was red pill and which was blue pill. But was the blue pill the...
I think
okay.
It's blue.
No, what was
it
red?
Was it red? I think it was red one.
Was it
So here's how Jesus works. It's like, okay, so that's the good news. He comes and he says, I can get you out of the fear of hindrance. I can get you out of the sin and the guilt and the shame place. I can get you out of the place of feeling terribly alone, of feeling like your healing would never come. I can get you at that place. How is he going to do that? How does this thing of restoration and healing work? Okay, the first thing, perfect plan. Jesus comes as man, right? And we know this to be true. Jesus was fully God. Right? He never stepped away from that, but he was fully man. It's ask him when you get to heaven. How did that work, right? So Jesus is fully God, fully man. And so he fully knew God.
Right.
And he fully knew you. He knew the circumstances of man, a man who is trapped in the fear matrix. He knows what culture you're in. He knows what your confusion is. He knows what you're being taught. He knows the game you're playing. Right, he's fully God and he's fully man. And so why is that important? Because we needed somebody who knew us, who knew my circumstance, who knew this false world I'm trapped in, to explain God to me. Maybe re-explain him to me, right? I needed someone to be able to describe God to me in a way that all my other systems couldn't do.
Right, right.
Jesus came to tell me, because he says this, he says, you're going to know him like I know him. That was his prayer in John. Mm-hmm. You're going to know him this way. Right now you don't. What we opened up in Ephesians, in that first chapter of Ephesians, when he said, God, give them eyes to see this way, that they're going to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you like I know you, God. So Jesus comes and he says, I can explain this thing of Father to you, because in your world of fear, this world of separation, all you see is God out there. Mm-hmm. And I've got to somehow get closer. I've got to somehow build steps. And Jesus comes and says, he's here right now, right? And I can show you that. And it's only through Jesus that you're going to get God explained to you. Mm. Right? That's why number one is so important. Right? So he said, okay, there is Father, right? But I'm still trapped in my little false reality. I'm still trapped in this fear matrix, right? So if Jesus is both man and God, right? So can I explain it this way? I can say he's got the nature of God, right? Mm-hmm. He's got the full nature of God in him. Jesus said, I only do what the Father's doing. I only say what the Father's speaking, right? Mm-hmm. He has the full nature of God in him. But he's also got the nature of man in him. They're like fused, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus says this, and the scripture tells us, when Christ died, Adam died. Mm. Have you heard that verse before? Mm-hmm. When Christ died, Adam died. Mm-hmm. When Adam died, so Adam's got a wrong thinker.
Right.
Adam's got a false reality. Adam has a misunderstanding of what's true. Adam propagated, right, this view of separation between the father and his kids, right? False understanding, false true. Scripture says when Christ died, Adam died, right? That fear and that wrong understanding, that place of distrust, that place of deceit, right? That place of broke, all died with Christ, right? And he tells us that not only did Adam die, you died with him. You died with him. So your wrong thinker, your wrong understanding, your wrong picture of God, right, died with Adam, died in Christ.
Right, right.
God took the false reality to the grave with him, okay, and says that died. But it gets better than that, because he says that, and when I came back and when I rose,
right,
you rose with him, right? So the false reality, the big lie, died in Christ. Mm-hmm. And when he resurrected, right, it stayed in the grave.
Right, right.
Right? And he says, and that we're no longer separated. Mm-hmm. Right? And here's the cool part. You go on in Ephesians, you read about that. The next chapter in Ephesians, and read Ephesians 1, 2, 3, and 4. Read those together. And he says, I took this down with me, and then I came out of the grave. And not only that, I'm seated in the right, by the right hand of my Father with you.
Right.
So you're up there with me, right? And so you and I are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And it says, and then we realize, oh my gosh, his whole purpose all along was, adoption. Right? We never knew him as Father. We knew him as other. We knew him as God out there. Right? And Jesus says, oh, if you could just know like I know, Father. If you could just know that you have access like I have access. Connection. Right? And so he says, oh, you're thinking wrong? Let's take care of that. He takes your wrong thinking to the grave, says, boom, we dealt with that. Now you come up and you're like, what? Right? I'm in you, I'm with you, I'm connected to you, to your power source, right? And then Paul tells us this, he goes, that happened. But we still are thinking against with this old mindset. Romans tells us we need to renew our minds, be transformed by the renewing of our minds, because why? You're still carrying around this wrong thinker, this wrong understanding, right? And so the whole language of the New Testament is Jesus came to show you're connected to him. So because he comes with your nature, he deals with the wrong thinker, mm-hmm. right? He shows you the power of the cross, right? That's done away with. And then he shows us that we're connected with him, right? And we're actually in his power source, right? That now the job is about divine participation. So now we get this assignment that says, go do these things. And the list of these things is what? Open blind eyes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? Heal, open blind ears.
But you got to run the new program if you don't ever run the new program.
So now we're just having to learn a new program, aren't we?
Yep.
We're learning the new downloads. We're learning the upgrade of the new operating system. Mm-hmm. Right? So now all of a sudden, this crazy, unbelievable assignment of loving the world miraculously, supernaturally, because mm-hmm. he tells you to go raise the dead, by the way, mm-hmm. right? That seems so far out there, so impossible, so unimaginable, and all of a sudden God says, yeah, but we're going to teach your thinker to get a line up with the way heaven thinks. Mm-hmm. He tells you... He says, think like I think. Mm-hmm. That's a paraphrase, but think like I think. Do what I do, right? Mm-hmm. We're sons we're loved the same way that God loves Jesus. It's the core of our identity. He tells us, as he is, so are we in the world, right? And our whole journey we're on is learning to see ourselves not separated from him.
Right.
So good.
Learning to see ourselves resting in his love.
Mm-hmm.
Learning to see ourselves in him.
Right, right.
Without any break, any gap, right? I love the testimony of that lady when she said she's healed of this horrible disease. She goes to share her story, and who's presented in front of her but another young lady with the same disease. And she's like, I know exactly what to do. I'm just going to love this girl.
Right.
and her thinker was, that's easy. I can do that.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the things of the miraculous is as simple as loving. It's as simple as just stepping into your assignment as being sons and daughters. And the fun thing about it is, you know, in the fear world, arrogance reigns supreme.
Mm-hmm.
It's all, you know, it's that kill or be killed, and you're always tearing people down to get ahead,
right?
To protect yourself. In this world of being sons and daughters, it's different. Paul talks about it as a confidence. Because of this great love, we have a confidence,
right,
in our faith,
mm-hmm,
right? That I'm not manipulated, I'm not deceived, I have a confidence of the power source that's inside of me. I have a confidence,
mm-hmm,
of my assured,
mm-hmm,
how loved I am, right? I have a confidence about my connection, and that translates into faith. And what have I told you faith is? Faith is just living in your identity as sons and daughters, right? Living out our assignment to really powerfully love. So instead of this endless cycle of trying harder and failing, which leads to rejection and fear, right? Which ultimately, by the way, always leads to bondage. It's a trap. It's like if we get trapped in this addictive cycle. We have this confidence of faith that leads us onto this journey of like purpose and identity and power. And so this morning, I just like happened in worship. I believe God released an upgrade this morning. I believe he's healing identity this morning. He's reconfirming for you you're a son, you're a daughter.
Right.
He's reminding you this morning of how powerfully loved you are. That's not a condition of your activity, by the way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. His love is just, he loves you. So this morning, we just accept what Holy Spirit's doing. He's just letting you wake up to the revelation of how loved you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then from that place, we move.
And so, along with all that, we're new. The Bible says we're new creations. So, in the new creation, God restores us back to our original design as spirit beings. In other words, when we were born, we're born as human beings, but we're really spirit beings. And then when we step into our true identity as spirit beings, that means we step back into eternity.
Mm-hmm.
We begin to see things that we couldn't see before, mm-hmm, because we're eternal. We were created as eternal. And so that's why we can see things that happened years and years ago, because God's already shown us everything we ever needed to see, because we're created way back, you know, before the foundation of the world. And so we can begin to have words of knowledge, prophecy, all that's already inside of us, but we didn't know that. And so in the new creation, because we're created in his image, we carry his DNA. And if he knows everything, that means we know everything. You know, if he spoke things into existence, we can speak things into existence. But it's a matter of coming into that reality, are we really that empowered? Yes, we are.
Really?
Yes, yeah. We are. We're that empowered. But it comes out of what Danny's talking about, that relationship, that intimacy with him on a daily basis. And then stepping out and taking a risk. And when you hear testimonies, you can take that testimony for yourself.
Right.
And then speak it to someone that might be having a problem. That's how awesome we are.
So I'll close with the verse we opened up with in 1 John chapter 4, right? Because it says fear involves torment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fear involves torment, right? Fear is judgment, right? And he tells us this in 1 John 4. Love has been perfected among us.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus came and revealed perfect love.
Yeah.
Right? The perfect love is waking up his kids, right? Why did he do that?
Mm-hmm.
So you would have boldness,
mm-hmm.
confidence when this culture comes against you.
Right.
It looks like a little girl comes up in front of you who has any, and she's in pain. Do I have the boldness, the confidence in who I am to respond
mm-hmm.
to what's happening in her right now, right? So I just want to encourage you and maybe give you a bump this week. You're going to be confronted with opportunities at Starbucks, at Walmart, the gas station, maybe at your workplace,
mm-hmm.
where there's somebody in front of you that needs loved.
Mm-hmm.
They might be sick. They might be in pain. There might be an obvious injury. Maybe they've got a brace on their body, a knee brace, or an arm in a sling, right? Those are obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Holy Spirit highlights something to you. They're hurting, and you see it on their countenance, their face. There's something hurting inside that person. I just would encourage you that this is a week of boldness. This is a week of risking it, right? What does love look like for you in that instance, at that moment?
Right.
Take your church hat off. Take your four-track gospel track out of your pop, you know, put that away. What does loving that person look like for you this week? Maybe it's just going up and just saying, you know, God highlighted you to me. And I just wanted to let you know how much he loves you.
Right.
Or maybe it's, oh my gosh, what happened to your knee? They tell you, is it hurt? Oh, can I pray for you? Because I've seen God heal people with head injuries in their knees and take their pain away. It could be that kind of simple. Or maybe it's just, wow, you have the prettiest smile. I just wanted you to know.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted you to know that today, that I just feel like God's just looking at you and highlighting you and celebrating you today. So what does love look like for you this week? Boldness in the face of judgment, their torment,
mm-hmm.
their hurts, their pains, their guilt, their shame, their rejection. Can you see yourself as the one who's bringing love and helping tear off
right.
the line?
Mm-hmm.
Right? All right. So Holy Spirit, we love how you're rewiring us.
Mm-hmm.
We love how you're encouraging us in our spirits. God, you're giving us confidence as we step out today. And so today we just ask for more, God, that there is just a release and unleashing of love over us and over our homes and over our families this week. And God, we just kind of, we hook into heaven. We kind of like we plug into heaven this week, God. And we just say yes to taking your love to whoever and wherever it needs to go this week. In Jesus' name, we bless you, Father. We just say thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.